mercy unto you, and peace and love be, what's that next word?
Multiplied.
Not added to, but multiplied. 1 John chapter number 5. I want you to kind of reserve the next couple or three Sunday nights. I think I should be here for three more anyhow before we hit the road again. But anyhow, some of the most important verses in your Bible are found in these next verses from here tonight, beginning with verse number 9 of this chapter and further on. As a matter of fact, the very purpose of the whole scripture is mentioned in this tonight, if we can get to it. But then there is those passages that deal with the sin unto death. Now you can read commentary after commentary and never come up with an answer as to what the sin unto death is. But God helping us, I'm going to show you what the scripture says and what the sin unto death is. So try to be here for the next nights. I don't know when that's going to happen, because we can't necessarily, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I may get one verse, I may get three or four, what have you. I have been known to get one word. But that's God's business, not mine. I just try to fill my head and then pray that God will spill it so we can enjoy his good book. So tonight we pick up our reading at verse number 9. Now remember, in our last meeting together, we are dealing with the witness of whether or not Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm going to ask you right now, who is Jesus? Where you're concerned, who is Jesus? Remember, Jesus asked his disciples, and Simon Peter came up with the right answer. Amazing, isn't it, that many people in our churches tonight don't have the right answer when it's given us right here in the text of the Word of God. So verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, now we've already just saw three witnesses in heaven, three witnesses on earth. Now John is saying, now that that is so, we have this before us. And if you believe the witness of men, then he's going to tell us that the witness of God is greater. Verse 9 again, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. The question again is, who is Jesus Christ? Is he really the Son of God? Verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What a glorious truth. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. You ought to underscore that. If you don't do it in your Bible, underscore it in your mind. If you don't believe what God says, then you've made God a liar. Amen. And the truth, of course, is not in us. Because he that believeth not the record of God, or that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty simple, isn't it? If you know the Lord Jesus, then you know what life is. But if you don't, then you're out there without any hope. These things have I written unto you. Now remember, here is that verse that tells us everything that Paul has said up to this particular place. And this is the essence of this book. Verse number 13, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, underscore that word, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. Lord Jesus, we stand here again tonight, a vessel, hopefully, able to be used by your marvelous grace. And now, Lord, I pray that as my lips open tonight, that your good spirit might carry the words to the hearts of this people and to those who will hear. Our Father, open our ears and then open our eyes that we might not only hear, but we might be able to see the good things of God. We're here at this appointed hour, and we know that years gone by, you were keenly aware that this night would come. Amen. Now, Lord, will you in these moments use us for thy glory? Yes. And may your Spirit speak to our hearts, for which we will give you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. Now, the proofs that Jesus is the Son of God have been laid before us already. There are proofs, he says, that are on the earth, and there are proofs that are in heaven. There are three on earth, and there are three in heaven. When the law is given, those who would witness must witness together. In other words, if someone is to be convicted of something, there must be at least two witnesses who can witness together what has taken place. But God goes farther here in these verses, and John describes it well, that the witness is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And those three agree, the Scripture says. And then, of course, there are those witnesses on earth as well. Now, to understand why there's three is simple. Two can bear witness, and that would condemn one to whatever the circumstance were, or that could release one from whatever the bondage may have been. But God goes farther to give us three. And that, of course, says there is no reason why you should ever doubt as to whether or not what God says is so. Amen. And especially that witness that he gives of his darling son. So many times in these verses, we've come across these things that Jesus is the Son of God. No question about it where the Scripture's concerned. But the question seems to fill the minds of mankind and has down through the ages to whether or not Jesus truly is the Son of God. Amen. There are those even today that espouse that Christ was really not the Son of God, but he was the son of a Roman soldier, a German soldier, actually, for the Romans were cowards, and they hired Germans to do their dirty work. And they claimed that Jesus was the illicit son of one of those German soldiers. Now, that's not what God says. And let me say this to you tonight. When doubt comes in your mind as to whether or not Jesus is the Son of God, you need to run again to these texts and recognize that God has given you every reason to believe that Jesus truly is his darling son. Now, there are those, of course, that tell us that we are all the sons of God. And in one sense of the word, we who are born again are. However, we are not the sons of God in the light that Jesus is. For Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? A bunch of difference. Jesus was God in the flesh. Let me go a step further and say to you that Jesus is God in the flesh. The visible representation you find in heaven of God, human-wise, is the Lord Jesus. Now listen to what I said. This is hard for many people to understand, because what we do in our minds, we have this picture of an old man sitting there with a white beard on a white throne, and that's God. Amen. And then we have a younger man who, of course, is the Lord Jesus on another throne. And then we have this cloud over on the side, and that is the Holy Ghost. Well, erase that, if you will, from your mind. That is just not so. Jesus is the only visible representation of God. Now hang on to that, because you're going to have problems with it as days go on. And somebody's going to come along and say, oh, that can't be so, because God... No, no, no. Jesus said God is spirit. Hello? The body of God is Jesus. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus identifies the Father as a spirit. Hello? And Christ then is that manifestation, human-wise, of God himself. If we can understand this, let me say it this way. There was as much God on earth as there was in heaven when Christ was here. There is as much God on earth today as there was when Christ was here and after his ascension back to the Father. Now, how can I say that's so? Because he sent the Holy Ghost. We may get to that later tonight. But he sent the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is Jesus in spirit form in this world. He is God in spirit form in this world. A step farther. He is God in you and in me as believers in Jesus Christ. My, what a marvelous truth. Oh, would to God, God's little youngins could get a hold of that. And just for a moment, glean the marvelous truth that is involved therein. For God himself has chosen to dwell in physical beings. Now, in order to make sure that that would work, that's what God did. He came in Jesus and dwelt in a physical body. Jesus was as much man as you are human. But he's as much God as God is himself. Amen. Because that's who he is. He's God. So he's God in the flesh. And when we recognize Christ as to who he is, and understand this marvelous truth that this incarnation goes farther than a word. It is the actual truth that God moved into a human body. And that human body walked the face of this earth for 33 and a half years. Taught the truths of the Father. Declared what the Father would have him declare. Because he is God.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Our oneness brethren have messed this thing up so badly so. But if we can understand one truth, that God manifests himself three ways. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All three are God. One is as much God as the other. If I brought a loaf of bread out here tonight and I set it before you and I took one slice away from that bread, then the slice I hold in my hand is as much bread as is in that hole still, isn't it?
Yes.
Both are bread. One's as much bread as the other.
Yeah.
So when Jesus came to this earth, he came to this earth as much God as there was in heaven. And when the Holy Ghost came to this earth, he is as much God as there is in heaven. Now that is a marvelous thing. And one of the things that we so often skip over in our minds, because we don't want to really think that God is really here and God really knows and God sees everything we do.
Amen.
Knows everything we think.
Yes, he does.
How about that?
Yes.
You see, Gary and I grew up together. Brothers. Womb fellows, if you will. But we didn't know everything that the other one was doing. Oftentimes we were apart as we grew up. He didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what he was doing. But where the Holy Ghost is concerned, he lives in us, not beside us.
Right.
Even though he is called a paraclete. And the paraclete means one brought alongside to help.
Yes.
But that means he is outside to help and he's inside to help.
Yes.
So inside he knows everything about us.
Yes.
Now that being so, that witness inside of us declares that Jesus truly is the Son of God.
Yes.
So there are natural and there are supernatural proofs that Jesus is truly the Son of God. My mind goes to this. If we have, give me Matthew 16, if you will, right quickly. Matthew 16, and we're going to start at about verse number 13. Watch this. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, here's the thing I referred to earlier, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now here comes an answer. They said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. And some Elias and others, Jeremiah and the other prophet. He said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Can I ask you that question tonight? Who do you say he is? What is your answer? Now Simon Peter answered the Lord and said these words, and listen carefully to what he said. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
You're the one.
Yes.
Now how did Simon Peter know that? Well, he'd been with him for 3.5 years.
Right.
He saw the miracles that our Lord has performed. Everything about the Lord Jesus was miraculous.
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
His conception is miraculous. His birth is miraculous. As a matter of fact, it's such a miracle that God sent a band of angels to come and tell shepherds.
Yes.
By the way, one of the greatest passages of Scripture in your Bible is right in that area. That God would think enough of shepherds in a field.
Yes, sir.
Now you would think he'd run down there somewhere and send those angels, go over there and tell the king and all the folks inside those palaces are, go down there at the temple and tell the priest and the Levites and the scribes and all those who are involved in the religion of the day. Go tell them. But he didn't do that.
Amen.
He didn't do that. You know why he didn't do that? Because they were unbelievers.
Right.
But here are some shepherds that some mom and some daddy along the way had instilled some truth in them, and they were looking for the birth of the Messiah. And it just so happened that on this night, God sent the angels to tell them, hey, tell you something. You need to run over to Bethlehem.
Yes.
Don't worry about the sheep. I'll take care of them tonight. You need to run over to Bethlehem.
Yes, sir.
And see this thing that's come to pass.
Amen.
Glory.
Yes.
You need to go see the Son of God.
Amen.
In his infancy.
Yes.
I wish we had some history. There's a few things when I get to heaven I'd like to know. And somebody said, well, I'm going to ask Jesus. No use to do that. Because when you get there, you'll have the mind of Christ.
Right.
And all these questions are going to be answered. But I just wonder along the way, how many of these shepherds were there when Jesus preached on the hillside and told of the things of the kingdom that was to come? No doubt that somewhere along the way they were present.
Yes.
And they could witness, hey, I saw him in the manger.
Amen. Yes.
The angels came to tell us, out on the mountainside, came to tell us that Jesus was birthed.
Amen.
Now, you know what they're going to say? Hey, if you doubt this is the Son of God, then you should have been where I was. You should know what I know.
Yes.
You should have experienced what I've experienced. Now, can I tell you tonight that your witness needs to be the same?
Yes, sir.
When somebody brings that doubt to your heart, you ought to say, wait just a minute. Oh, you ought to know what I know.
Amen.
Would to God that you could see what I saw.
Amen.
Would to God that you could feel what I felt.
Yeah.
And you could say with Simon Peter, thou art the Christ.
Yes. Amen.
The Son of the living God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, the proof is there. The proof is there, and only the mind that is blinded by sin,
amen,
would ever doubt the reality that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Now, how do I know this is so? The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse number 8, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've got a little taste tonight.
Amen.
But let's look at that little phrase for just a moment. And it's only a part of the verse. Oh, taste and see. That's far. Now here's how God reveals things to us. A preacher once asked me years ago, we were both much younger then and both far less experienced. And he asked me, he said, Brother Larry, do you believe in gradual revelation? I said, son, if God gave it all to us in a moment, we'd evaporate.
Amen.
It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But God has a purpose in mind, and God's going to bring us to truth. And that truth then is going to magnify itself in our lives. But here's how it comes. Taste. And then see. Believe. and thou shalt be saved. You see how it operates? God, first of all, would have us to taste. First of all, believing must be a reality. Then comes that revelation. Now let me show you this so practical. Can an unbeliever ever be saved? The answer to that is no. It's an impossibility. Can one who is blind ever see? No. It's an impossibility. Unless the miracle of grace takes place. Now the blind can see. Now those unbelievers will believe. And when belief comes, when the taste comes, then comes the remainder of what it will do for you. When you taste something, it doesn't necessarily have to go into your being, does it? Into your stomach, into your digestive tract. But if you taste and see, then that taste is going to compel you to taste some more. Taste is one of the great graces that God gave us. I have suffered from the lack of taste since my last bout with the Wuhan virus. And that's been nearly a year ago now. I still can't taste food. I can't smell. I smell an odor, but I don't know what it is. I know there's an odor present, but I couldn't tell you what it is. But I can remember the day that I could taste. And oftentimes when I'm eating, that's what I'm doing. I'm remembering what this tastes like when I could taste.
Yes, sir.
And I'm remembering how things smelled when I could smell. Are you getting a hold of what I'm saying to you? And it may be that I've been through this for a year just to make this statement tonight. But you see, when we taste and when we smell, God is inviting us to partake of whatever there is. It's not the best thing in the world to sit down and taste something that just doesn't taste good, is it? Huh? No. Now, I've had my fill of things that don't taste good. I don't want anything else in my mouth that doesn't taste good. Too many years down the road, too many meals packed into my gut, I don't need anything that doesn't taste good. I want it to taste good. I want it to smell good. Even though I can't smell it, you can smell it. But I want it to smell right too. Hello?
Yeah.
Now those two blessings that God has given us are great spiritual lessons for us. Taste. Take it in. And when you take it in, now you begin to understand some things about it, don't you?
Yeah.
When you really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, now you begin to understand. Now things start coming through to you.
Yeah.
I remind you again that this book is a spiritual book. It is for God's people. Not for the sinner. This is for God's people. It's a letter from God Himself to His children. It's divided into chapters and verses, books. 66 books God has compiled here for His children. Taste and see. Take just a little bit of it. Read just a little bit of it. We read John 3:16 a few moments ago. Taste and see. John 3:16 is a shovel loaf. But you just take a taste of it and see what God does for you. Verse after verse, chapter after chapter, book after book. God has given us to reveal His Son in us. Christ is in Genesis. Throughout the law, throughout the prophets, throughout the Psalms, throughout the minor prophets, throughout the Gospels, throughout the epistles, in the book of the Revelation, He is there. And as we taste, as we begin to taste, we begin to see Christ is there.
Amen.
There's the Lord.
Yes.
Look at that. God is revealing now His Son. Paul makes a statement. It might be good for you to examine sometime. When it came time, in the fullness of time, God revealed His Son in me. What in the world does that mean? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, declaring Himself to be so. But he knew nothing of Christ. But one day on the road to Damascus, God opened those eyes and he saw and he tasted and he believed and carried out the ministry that God had for him. Now that's a conversion, isn't it? From what he was to what God made him. Well, the same thing takes place in your life. When God reveals His Son in you, when you taste and see, when you begin to understand, this man truly is the Son of God. This really is Him. He's not an imposter. No, no, no. The church proves it to be so. Can I just for a moment digress, if I may? The martyrs down through the ages. Martyrism is still taking place tonight.
Yes, it is.
In countries of this world, Christians are being slain still. Why? Why do they not recant or recant? Why do they not say, I give up my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do they not do that? Because they've tasted.
Amen.
And they've saw.
Amen.
They believed. And God has saved. God has changed them. They know, hey, they know that death is a promotion.
Amen.
They're not upset because death is looking them in the face. Let me remind you of something. If you do not know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're going to have a rough time on your deathbed.
Amen.
Your faith better be strong enough to take you through the graveyard and out the other side and into glory. If it's not, darling, you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And so, as the martyrs give up their lives, horrible deaths, they never say, I recant.
Amen.
But they look toward glory.
Amen.
I'm reminded of Sir Walter Raleigh. Now, many of you are a few years into your pilgrimage, and you remember Sir Walter Raleigh smoking tobacco. Remember that?
Yes.
I remember as kids we used to call the store and say, do you have Sir Walter Raleigh in the can? And they said, oh, yeah. Well, you better let him out. He'll suffocate.
Amen.
So that, that was a desecration on Sir Walter Raleigh's name. He was a great Christian. And it came time that they were to martyr him. He was to die. And they took him to the guillotine and put his head in the stock. And the executioner said, sir, your head is not fixed, meaning that he didn't have his head exactly right in that stock where the blade would come down. And Sir Walter Raleigh looked his executioner in the eyes and he said, sir, it matters not that my head is fixed, so long as my heart is fixed. Looking death in the face and saying, makes no difference, because my heart's right. You know how he could say that? He knew Jesus was the Son of God.
Amen.
And if you're assured that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you can face whatever hell brings.
Amen.
And know that it's going to be all right in the morning.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to stop right there. We'll come back and pick up the rest of these verses at another date. I had great plans when it started tonight, but it looked like we didn't get the one verse, and that's about it. But here's the truth of the matter. Jesus Christ is God's darling Son.
Yes, He is.
It is a fact. A fact proven down through history. A fact proven by God Himself. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was a different thing. This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. I love this thought. And I don't know how much, you know, how much theology is behind this thought, but I see it this way. There is Christ with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Moses and Elijah disappear, and Jesus is left. And the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Now what God said right there was this: my Son supersedes Moses. My Son supersedes the law. My Son supersedes Elijah. My Son supersedes the prophets. Read the book of the Hebrews. You'll find that Jesus is better than anything ever brought about in this world. God would have you know tonight, if you know nothing else in this world, you don't have to be an educated individual to know that Jesus is the Son of God. You just have to be acquainted with Him. Just be acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be acquainted with the book. Be acquainted with the Father.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And you'll know Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Now the text says that we didn't get to that, that witness is in us. Down inside, the Holy Ghost is saying all the time, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
When doubt arises, the Holy Ghost said, Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
When hell brings all of its barriers to belief, the Holy Ghost said, Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the Son of God. We not only know it, but we are assured of it on a continual basis because He lives in us.
Amen.
Let's stand together.